If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's more to come at the Michelle Troconis trial in the Jennifer Farber Doulos case. The mystery deepens and justice seeks its course. Press subscribe now and stay tuned for more episodes unraveling the truths behind the most perplexing criminal cases from true crime today.
The lower left of this picture.
And with respect to the B11, where was that?
B11 was in the upper center portion of the picture.
Okay. Now, what about area C? Did you utilize any stains in area C?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And picture 10 shows an area C. Is the area that you chose the stain from depicted in that photograph?
Yes, ma'am. Center portion.
Okay. Picture 11, what does that depict, sir?
This is a spatter stain that was designated as C2, located in area C.
And did you utilize that in your analysis?
Yes.
Why?
It's elliptical in shape, has an evident directionality, and is representative of the few stains that were in area C.
And with respect to area G, did you utilize any stains in there?
Yes, ma'am.
Is the area that you, or is the stain that you utilized depicted in that photograph of area G, which is picture 12, please?
Yes, ma'am. Both two stains.
Okay, which stains did you utilize?
G20, which is the center portion of the picture, and G19. Which is the lower right portion of the picture.
Picture 13. Sir, could you explain why you chose G19?
Again, this was representative of the entire pattern. The stain's elliptical in shape, has a slight indication of directionality towards the right edge.
And the direction?
In this picture, it is from the left portion of the picture towards the upper portion of the right side.
And G20, sir, why did you choose that one?
Elliptical in shape, clearly defined edges, and representative of the entire pattern on the floor.
Now, once you chose the specific stains, what is the next step?
The next step in the process is to measure the width and the length of the stains. So there's a relationship between the width and the length and the angle that the stain impacted the surface on. So in order to determine what that angle is, it's called an impact angle, which is really, it's the angle between the flight path and the blood drop and the surface that it is deposited on. So there's a a trigonometric ratio that relates the width and the length of the stain to the angle that it impacts.
And did you conduct that analysis?
Yes.
The measurements and everything?
Yes.
Okay. After you conducted the measurements and the math, what's the next step?
The next step there is to determine the area of convergence of the stains, which in this case are essentially retracing their flight paths along the ground or the garage floor in this case, to determine where and what area they intersect.
And how did you do that?
I did it with strings. We run strings through the long axis of the stain, opposite the direction of travel, opposite the direction that the stain was traveling. And they intersect in a space somewhere in that direction of travel.
If I can draw your attention to picture 15, sir. And I'm actually going to ask you about this group, if you can see my cursor, along the garage floor of pink strings. Could you just explain a little bit about what those are?
Yes. So the strings here, starting with the top left, going counterclockwise, represent are the flight paths of the stains that were selected for the analysis on the ground. So we're in this case, we're dealing with a spatter pattern that is on the ground versus one that may be on a vertical surface, so horizontal surface. So these strings essentially represent the horizontal flight path of the drops as they were dispersed and landed towards the perimeter of the garage.
Now, there are a lot of times in looking at that photograph that the strings intersect. How did you determine the area of convergence out of that?
Right. So we see here as the flight paths of the stains have been drawn through the long axis, they converge. There are a space of intersections, which are essentially in the center of this photograph. So there are a number of different areas where at least three of the strings cross, which ultimately this space defines the area of convergence for those blood drops. So it's an area. It's not specifically a point in space. Blood is dispersed from an area source. And so the net result is an area of convergence where the intersections manifest.
If I can, I'm going to move on to picture 16. Sir, what does this show?
So this is a top-down view with the front of the garage being at the top of the picture. So this is a top-down view of the intersections that I just described. There are pink arrows that are pointing to four different areas in this photograph. Three towards the center and one towards the lower portion of the picture. And then there's a yellow arrow that points to essentially a point onto the on the garage floor.
And what is the yellow arrow?
So in determining the area of convergence here, because we are ultimately trying to determine utilizing this method of reconstruction, essentially a point where we can measure to determine the area of origin or how high the blood stains were, in this case, off of the floor, when the blood event occurred. So in order to do that, I measured the location relative to the surface here, or relative to the garage floor, of where these essentially focal points of intersections are, and then just take their average, which gives me a point here. Ultimately, this is a range, which in this case runs approximately 4 inches laterally and 11 inches vertically in this picture. But the mean of these intersections ultimately is represented by the yellow arrow on the floor.
So what is an area of origin?
So an area of origin is the space in three dimensions where a blood source was dispersed from. So the convergence is two dimensions, in this case on the floor. That blood source, where it originates off the floor, in this case is the area of origin. If we had a spatter pattern on a vertical surface, we would essentially replicate this and then determine how far off of that vertical surface the blood source, where it resided.
And did you do that in this case?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to move on to, I'm actually going to go to picture 18. What does that show, sir?
So this is a photograph of the completed reconstruction utilizing the angles of impact that were calculated from measurement, the measurement of each stain from that yellow arrow, that yellow area of convergence that was calculated previously. And then again, through trigonometry or some math, the height of each of those stains above the floor was determined. So this puts us, in this case, there's a piece of white tape on this photo pole that's towards the center of the picture, which represents the average of each of the heights that comprise this reconstruction. So this height was approximately 3.5 feet. And again, it's a range, because not every stain is coming back to a single point, a range of 36 to 43 inches.
And just to be clear, are you finished with your reconstruction at this point?
Relative to the, yes.
Okay. Are you, after you completed this, did you also have an opportunity to examine the Chevy Suburban at, I think you said, New Canaan PD?
Yes, ma'am.
And with respect to the height that you determined on this area of origin, did that information you gleaned from the Chevy Suburban change the height, in your opinion?
So just as part of this reconstruction, these stains are on a horizontal surface. So the fact that they're downward moving stains, gravity and air resistance needs to be taken into effect on their flight paths. So the flight path over the ground remains constant, negating any wind currents or other fluctuations in that. But the vertical component of that, because they're downward, gravity and air resistance need to be taken into account. In examining the Suburban, there were spatter stains located on the right front door, the right rear door, and underneath the Suburban. So under the premise that the Suburban was in the garage at the time of the bloodshed event, the height of this reconstruction is not possible, because the blood would have had to travel through the Suburban in order to be deposited onto the floor.
Now, I'm going to ask you a couple questions about the Suburban, if I can.
Before we move on to the next series of questions, Colonel, can you explain what the significance is of the areas of convergence?
Yes, Your Honor. The significance would be relative to a reconstruction that we can take static spatter stains and determine the area relative to the scene in three dimensions from where the blood source originated.
So the intersection of those strings would, what significance does that have?
The significance of, we would be able to determine the position of the blood source. So in terms of if it was low to the ground and I had a 3.5 foot area of convergence and say testimony that the blood source was low to the ground, those are not compatible. So we can put that blood source, that area, in a location and space to determine or answer investigative questions.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So if you could take a look at the picture behind you, it's, I believe, picture one on file four states 31. Could you tell me what is depicted in that photograph, please?
This is a picture of the lower portion of the right rear door of the Suburban. So within this photograph, we have elliptically shaped spatter stains, predominantly concentrated in the lower half of the door. You can see in here there's directional angles that indicate on some of the stains that they're traveling from the lower portion of the door towards the upper portion or right to left in this picture. We also have some stains that have some varying directionalities that are, their directionality appears horizontal, like they're traveling straight across the door. There's also a number of stains here that have a curvilinear type of distribution that go from the right portion of the picture and curve on a downward arc towards the lower part of the door and towards the running board. So there's a varying degree of, say, organization to these stains because we have different orientations and different directional angles.
What does that tell you?
In terms of analysis that these stains could be interrelated and come from the same event, or because they have different flight paths, there could be another event, or this could be a composite pattern that consists of multiple events relative to this deposition.
Is that relative to the area of convergence that we just saw, or is that relative to its own area?
At this point, it could be relative to that area of convergence or not.
And in your review of the Chevy Suburban, did you form an opinion as to whether or not the Chevy Suburban was parked in the garage at the time of the, blood impact?
Based on the spatter stains that were on the Chevy, it's known history the day before, the 25th, the 24th. And the blood stains on the floor, it is likely that the Suburban was parked on the left side of the garage facing forward at the time of the bloodshed event.
Now, I'm going to move on to picture two. What does this show, sir?
So this photograph is the lower portion of the forward part of the rear door of the Suburban. So we see on this lower portion spatter stains, again, some with directionality here that are traveling from the lower portion of the door towards the upper portion. Some have a flat trajectory again, like the pattern that we looked at before. And some of these stains are somewhat circular, so we can't necessarily discern direction from them.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, so if you have multiple directions in one area, is that indicative of one impact event or more than one, or can you even say?
To some degree, that relative to these stains, it's not conclusive, because these blood drops, even some that are on a horizontal plane, may have just been dispersed with a different velocity, and gravity is acting and air resistance are acting on them as they're traveling through the air. So that trajectory may have been flattened out instead of another drop that had a different velocity and is still traveling in the upward direction. So it's not conclusive. They're just not as organized in formation as other patterns.
And picture three, sir?
This was just a close-up picture of a stain, spatter stain, that was seized as an exhibit, and a closer up picture of some spatter stains, which here we can see directionality on lower right to upper left. And in this case, the center stain is traveling from right to left, but it has a downward direction to it.
And picture four, sir, you can describe that.
So this picture, so just to orient you to the picture, the seam here that is in the upper portion of the picture, the right part of this is the front door. The left part of this is the rear door. So underneath the vehicle here, we have spatter stains that are in a radiating type of distribution as we move from right to left across this picture. We have clearly elliptical stains, varied in size. Some stains are larger, which were 4 to 6 millimeters. Some stains millimeter to submillimeter and smaller. So in this picture, we have directionality on a flat surface underneath the vehicle. And the surface here beneath the ruler was angled to some degree. So it's a little hard to tell from this picture, the orientation. But we have stains impacting at angles relative to the underside of this vehicle, meaning their origin was below the ground clearance of the vehicle.
And did that determination play a factor into your opinion that the vehicle was parked in the garage at the time of the impact event?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Now, with respect to picture five, sir, if you could just explain, did you utilize that at all in your analysis?
Just in terms of observation that there were spatter stains on vertical surface, blood-like spatter stains on vertical surfaces underneath the vehicle.
And actually, going to go to picture nine. Sir, do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph?
Yes.
And can you explain your analysis of it, please?
So this stain was located on the rear tailgate, plastic portion of the rear tailgate. Circular in shape, has some scalloped edges here. It's indicative of a drip stain based on its size, which is approximately 10 millimeters. Further, we see edge characteristics here and a partial removal of the center portion of the stain with a directionality that goes from the stain in the center towards the upper right portion of the picture, indicating this is a drip stain that was subsequently wiped. We have edge characteristics that are remaining.
So when you say a drip stain that's wiped, what do you mean by that?
I mean, so a drip stain was deposited here. drop that formed due to gravity, and it was at some point altered.
Now, with respect to the other vehicle in the garage, the Range Rover, did you have an opportunity to examine that as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to draw your attention to file 5. Is that the vehicle that you examined?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you conduct a reconstruction on that vehicle as well?
In terms of area of convergence for the front door, yes.
Okay. And picture 2, what is depicted in that photograph, sir?
This is a photograph of the left front door, the driver's door of the suburb of the Range Rover.
And is there any, if you utilize the same method of collecting spatter stains on the Range Rover that you did, the same method that you described in your testimony with respect to the garage floor?
Not in terms of collection, but in terms of identifying representative samples from a radiating pattern and utilizing strings to determine an area of convergence, yes.
Okay, picture 3, sir.
So this is an angled view of the front door. We're better able to visualize the spatter stains. So we're looking at this photograph from the front of the car towards the rear. And in this picture, we can see spatter stains that are dispersed in a radiating distribution, closer together towards the bottom left of the picture, further away as we get towards the upper right of the picture, with directionalities that indicate the stains are traveling from lower left to upper right.
And did you utilize any one of those as a spatter stain in a reconstruction?
Four stains were utilized to just determine an area of convergence here. One was seized as an exhibit.
And picture 4?
Picture 4 is the left rear door of the Range Rover. In this picture, there are spatter stains that are deposited in a curvilinear type of distribution, meaning their directionalities, are in this case moving from approximately horizontal and trending downward towards the lower right portion of the vehicle as they're deposited.
And picture 5, sir, if you could just explain what that is.
So in this picture, this is the, again, the left front door of the Range Rover, stains representative from that radiating distribution were selected. Strings were pulled along the long axis opposite their direction of travel, similar to what was done on the garage floor. And these strings intersected at an area here on the vehicle, which was approximately 18 inches to the rear of the front seam, between the door and the front fender.
Sir, is that in any, that area of convergence related or separate, in your opinion, to the area of convergence that was found on the garage floor?
So this is two-dimensional in this case. The garage floor was separated from this area of convergence by approximately 32 inches. So there's a spatial separation there. In this piece of the reconstruction, because there's varied angles relative to a car surface, it's curved. So a three-dimensional analysis was not done here because of those curved surfaces and then related to the angles. So it's two-dimensional here. These stains would have originated at some point out in space or away from the car, but the distance that separated this pattern and the other area of convergence was 32 inches, almost 3 feet. They're offset by approximately a foot.
So if the two instances are, or area of convergence are offset by a foot and about 3 feet. Are they related or separate incidences?
I mean, that's part of the data for the conclusion. The other portion of that is relative to blood stains that are underneath this vehicle, which are traveling under and towards the right rear. We have spatter on the Suburban traveling under and essentially radiating through all sides underneath. So we have spatial separation, different directions on patterns, and also really a lack of spatter stains in between the two vehicles, other than the two spatter stains that were in Area G.
So because of those factors, what does that tell us?
So based on those factors in the context of the scene, it indicates that there are mutually exclusive bloodshed events, one on each vehicle.
So does that mean that there were two impacts in that area?
A minimum of two.
And just briefly to go through, when you're talking about the disbursement of the patterns underneath the vehicle, does this photograph represent what you're talking about? Paragraph, this picture 7, I can, or I can do picture 8.
This one I think is a little easier to see. So in this picture we have a long rectangular arrow and or long rectangular scale and a short rectangular scale. A green arrow in the center. So, within here, there are spatter stains that are essentially on the lower portion of the front door. So there's a plastic piece to this door that we can see that runs. There's a curved section on the upper portion between the sheet metal, plastic. The section that is in the center is relatively flat, and then this curves. This essentially curves underneath. There are spatter stains here that are in a radiating distribution. Some larger, 4 to 6 millimeters, some smaller that have directional angles that are moving from the left side of the vehicle towards the right side, and from the left side of the vehicle towards the right rear. Also in this picture, this crease here that runs along the bottom edge of scale of item E, the lower portion of this picture is actually the underside of the vehicle. So it's horizontal. How this picture is oriented, it kind of makes this look like it's in the same plane, but just for awareness, the lower portion is under the vehicle, horizontal. This portion is curved and above the ground clearance.
I'm going to ask you a couple more questions about the Range Rover, sir. Were there instances of non-spatter on the Range Rover?
Yes.
And I'm going to show you file 6, please. And by non-spatter, what does that mean?
So we can maybe just back up a little bit relative to the non-spatter. So in determining classifications of stains, we use a taxonomic system, or a system that's based on characteristics, similar to how animals are identified by species. So depending on which system you utilize, a blood stain starts at the top, i.e. the animal kingdom. And then based on characteristics, we break down into smaller subgroups. The spatter subgroup are stains that are circular, elliptical in shape, which we've been looking at in the most recent pictures. The non-spatter group are stains that are not circular or elliptical in shape. So when we look at initially characteristics and we see circular elliptical, we start examining characteristics in the spatter group. In this case, stains that are not circular or elliptical, we look at non-spatter.
If I can, I'm gonna show you actually picture three. And actually, if I can, I'm sorry. I'm gonna actually go to four. Picture four, sir. If you could explain what your opinion is of that, please.
So this is the emblem that says Land Rover, which is on the driver's side of the vehicle, the left front. There's a spatter stain here that is not circular elliptical in shape. It has some well-defined edges, and it also has voids at certain locations within the pattern. So a void is an absence of blood and an otherwise continuous stain. Shape is relatively rectangular, and so based on that deposition, this is indicative of a transfer stain that has a pattern associated with it. So
what
a pattern transfer.
Does that mean the item that had the blood-like substance on it touched that and transferred it, or what exactly does that mean?
So transfer is a result of a blood-stained surface contacting a non-blood-stained surface and leaving blood behind. Whether it's in a pattern or not depends on the object.
Picture five, please.
Another example, lower portion of the grill of a transfer stain or transfer stains that are located in this case in the center portion of the lower part of the grill in the picture.
And did you find any spatter on the tires?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. This tire?
Yes, ma'am. Left front.
Picture seven, please. Do you see that in there? Do you see any spatter stain in there?
Yes, so we're looking at the left front tire in this case. So there are small blood-like stains located in the, say, the spokes of the hubcap, primarily on the surfaces that are facing our direction. So we're looking at this tire from the rear of the car forward. So there are small, mostly circular spatter stains located within the spokes of the hubcap.
In picture eight, what does that show?
So this is the left front portion of the bumper, the left side of the bumper. So we have the plastic bumper portion in the upper part, the gray plastic portion in the lower part. So in this picture, there are some somewhat circular or somewhat elliptical stains here. They really lack a consistency necessarily with one of those geometric shapes. Further, in some of these stains, the center portion has been removed, so we just have perimeter stains that are present there. Their distribution is essentially nonlinear. There's some stains that could be determined to have a linear orientation, but for the most part, it's a nonlinear distribution. Also beneath this Exhibit 69 sticker is a blood stain that is representative of a flow pattern, which is essentially a volume of blood that moves along a surface relative to gravity or a change or a disruption in the surface. That's located at the corner of the bumper, the lower center of this picture.
Now, with respect to the, I guess, the stain, the perimeter stains on the upper middle, do you see that area on the upper middle? I guess I'll show you my
yes,
cursor. You testified that the inside of the stain may have been removed. Could that have been done if somebody wiped down the car?
That's one possibility.
Okay. And with respect to, actually, I'll leave it. If I may show you, go back to. This picture, sir. This is file 5, I believe, picture 2. Do you see these markings that my cursor is going across the door from left to right or right to left? Are those indicative of wipe marks?
I couldn't say whether they are or they aren't.
Okay. And by wipe marks, I don't mean, by the way, a BPA. There wasn't any blood spatter under those markings, the left to right, the middle of the door. Is that correct?
Well, I'm sorry.
Let me rephrase. That's a bad question. I apologize. All the spatter marks on the driver's side door of the Range Rover, where were they contained in, or what area?
Relatively in the lower portion of the door.
Okay, so the area in the middle to upper portion of the door where we see those sweeping marks across the door, did you find any spatter stains in that area?
I'm not sure whether there was or wasn't any in that area relative to how high something may have
been. Okay.
Traveled.
And with respect to the perimeter stains here on picture 8 that you were showing, did you see those in other areas of the car as well?
Not perimeter stains.
Did you see them in the garage at all?
Exhibit 48, which was a drip stain, was a perimeter stain.
Okay. And I'm going to move on to exhibit... picture 10. What does that depict, sir?
It's kind of hard to see with the glare here. But previously we had talked about spatter stains, which are in the upper portion of this picture, and a flow that was in the lower portion of the picture. Here we see beneath the exhibit 69 marker, a flow pattern, actually repetitive flow patterns here that don't seem to have a characteristic of where they originated from.
And so how does a flow pattern happen?
It's a volume of blood that moves across the surface. So if there was if a drop of blood dripped onto the surface, it would impact the surface, and the remaining volume would, with gravity or contours relative to the surface, flow with gravity till either it dripped off the car or the volume was exhausted.
And does that picture show that those flows have a source?
I did not recognize a source of these flows in this photograph.
Okay. Thank you. Picture 11, please.
This is the, to the left of the picture is the left front wheel. This is the lower portion of the vehicle behind the left front wheel. And there's a amorphous shaped transfer stain that's located in this area here, approximately an inch.
Okay. And picture 12 and 13, if I can.
What
do those show, sir?
12 was the left rear side.
And was there a
the vehicle.
Non-spatter stain on the left rear side of the vehicle?
So there's a blood stain located right above the bumper, the left portion of the bumper there, which in this picture is, again, an amorphous shape indicative of, in this case, a transfer.
And sir, did you also examine the right side of the garage, zoned as DEF? Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And with respect to zones D, E, and F, actually going to show you if I can. Last file, file 7, picture label 2. Is that the area that you looked at as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And with respect to area, I guess it would be D. When it works, if you can look at the screen, please. Well, let me ask you this, sir, while it's going down. Did you notice any, altered stains in area D?
Area D had wipe swipes, altered stains.
Okay. And with respect to the wipes and swipes, were there any spatter stains, actually?
I did not observe any spatter stains in area T.
Okay. Picture 4, sir, if you can, did you notice any, you said wipes or swipes in this area? Is there anything in particular?
This area, lower center of the picture, and say center of the picture, lower center of the picture, contained areas that were wiped and swiped, altered.
Okay. Picture 5, what does that show?
Picture 5 is exhibit 70. Essentially this shows right above the long axis of this L ruler, portions of of a transfer stain that appear to have, in this case, short linear markings that are separated by essentially a void. So there's defined edges here. And they're separated by voids. There's a curvilinear type of aspect to these here, and then over towards the center, lower center of the picture, which is indicative of a pattern transfer.
Thank you. And apparently my battery is running low, so I'm going to keep going and ask for Attorney Moran's help, if you don't mind. Picture 7, I think that's exhibit 71. Sir, if you can explain, is that a swipe or a wipe?
So we can see swipes within 71, particularly wipes, directionality, and moving kind of back and forth here in 71, and also outlines of some geometric shapes and linear markings that have space in between them or voids in between them, indicative of a pattern transfer.
Picture 9. Okay. Apparently when I plugged it in, give me 1 second. If I may have one moment, Your Honor. There you go. Picture 9, sir.
Center portion of the picture, we see transfer stains here. Again, linear stains that are arranged in kind of a hash mark type of arrangement with defined edges, voids in between them, that are in the upper portion of the picture, the central portion of the picture. And then in the lower portion of the picture in varying arrangements, indicative of a pattern.
And sir, do you have an opinion as to what kind of pattern that is?
Contextually, contextually, it is suggestive of a footwear pattern, but not determinative.
Okay, and picture 11?
Within picture 11, towards the lower portion, I always have relatively defined edges again, geometric shapes, in this case, say diamonds, that are almost concentric, linear stains that are arranged in a hash type of arrangement with voids in between them. That's lower right of the picture and center left. Hash marks with spaces in between them, with defined edges, and the lower portion of the picture, linear type of markings that resemble part of a geometric shape.
Pretty much same question, sir. What is that? Does that also resemble a footprint?
It would be suggestive of footwear.
Okay. Picture 12B, exhibit 51, and.
And this picture is depicting in the lower portion, essentially a white stain, an altered stain. And within this picture, there are in here. It's not only that there are indications of blood based on color and appearance, but also movement of material that's on the garage floor, i.e. dirt or some other type of substance.
And picture 13, sir.
Picture 13 in the center, there are essentially three ovals that are oriented long axis, top to bottom, direction not implied by that. There are partial voids in between the three ovals, and within, not throughout each, but within particularly the one on the left, there are voids that are located within that stain that are somewhat oval in shape or sesame seed size and shape. In the left one, the center one, and not as visible in the right one.
Could you make any determination or opinion as to what that is?
That appears to be a pattern transfer as far as I can say.
Attorney Manning, this would be an appropriate time to take the afternoon recess.
Yes, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will take our afternoon recess until 3:45. Please do not discuss the case.
Extra.
All right, this turned out to end the resources at 3:45.
Good afternoon.
Please be seated. Thank you.
Before the jury comes out and our client is being summoned, I know that after that there's going to be a couple of brief witnesses, at least one brief witness, evidence collection officer that collected evidence in Hartford. I have no objection to that. What I'm going to object to, and I don't know how far the state wishes to go, is they found things of evidentiary value and collected it. Then she's going to ask, why did you collect that? Which raises not only the age-old hearsay question, but the relevance question. The fact that police decided to collect something can only be based on hearsay of what other people told them. And why they did that is irrelevant to the case. And there's a million cases on that. I don't have it on the site right now, but there's no need for them to explain in hearsay terms why a police officer collected a piece of evidence any more than it says, well, I read it in a warrant that a judge signed and it was probable cause or whatever the reason is. They brought out the fact that their interest turned to Hartford. It's going to have something to do with collecting videos from Albany Avenue in Hartford. And that, I have no objection to any of that. But if they go, why did we want it? We saw a truck and we heard that this was related to Fotis Doulos. That's the hearsay that I would object to, and it's not relevant that he was told that as a reason.
Well, first, The court just wants to get an idea of the schedule for today. How much longer do you think you have with Colonel Davison?
I have one photograph and a couple pictures, Your Honor. I'm sorry, one photograph, one picture, a couple questions, nothing more. I'm going to end that with Lieutenant Colonel Davison. With respect to the, I have two witnesses. I think with the length of time, I had three, but I don't think we're going to get to the third. The two witnesses are Sergeant Vantresca and then Mike Fitzsimon. Retired trooper Fitzsimon collected a video. He's going to discuss what he collected, authenticate the video, as well as explain why he went to that particular place and what he saw, and then why he what he did after that. I think that's perfectly within his rights to say why he did something. I think that's very clear in the code of evidence that an individual can testify that because they were told to some information, they made an analysis and interpreted it and went and did something off of it. I think that's very clear as to why it's there. Now, I'm a little unsure as to whether counsel is objecting at this point to that question, or is he objecting to the officer then, detailing what he saw on the screen and then what the next steps he did for and the reasons why he did that. There are two different things and two different analysis. And I do have cases that allow both.
Well, before we even reach that, Attorney Schoenhorn has the opportunity to cross-examine Colonel Davison.
Yes.
So are we even going to get to those witnesses today?
Yes, we will. I maybe have 15 minutes of cross-examination. So I've got a couple of questions. I'll just hold a piece of paper. It's only like two or a couple of lines per page. So, I waste paper, but I didn't write a lot of them.
Rather than try to address the hearsay concerns now, we can just bring the jury back in and conclude with the direct examination of Colonel Davison.
Thank you.
You can bring the jury back in, please. Counsel stipulate, please.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Okay. Colonel, Honor, you may be seated.
May I inquire, Lieutenant Colonel?
Yes.
Thank you. Lieutenant Colonel, I'm just going to ask you a couple more questions. There's actually only two more photographs I have. Do you recall in the right, the right bay of the garage, were there garbage cans in that garage?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you examine or have an opportunity to look at those garbage cans?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you determine or analyze them and see if there was any altered stains or transfer stains or any of the stains that you were discussing today?
Yes, there were blood stains on parts of the garbage can.
Okay, I'm going to show you. Out of file 7, please, picture 23. Do you recognize what's depicted in that photograph?
Yes, ma'am.
You could go up if you can. That's okay, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. Sir, are there any transfer stains, or perhaps you could just describe it?
So this photograph is of the, if we're facing the garbage cans, it's the right garbage can, so the one closest to the garage door. Marked here by the square or rectangular white marker is a transfer stain that contains some defined edges, some voids within those edges, in somewhat elliptical shapes, which is as characteristic of a pattern transfer.
There's more to come at the Michelle Trokinas trial in the Jennifer Farber Dulos case. The mystery deepens and justice seeks its course. Press subscribe now and stay tuned for more episodes unraveling the truths behind the most perplexing criminal cases from true crime today.